T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose. And all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off to Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than 3 times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the Men's Room.
Hello, away we go. Welcome to season 16, episode number 3518. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, and Mike Hawk. And you are in the Men's Room. On tap today, the return of Who Sucks Less. We will play Profile This, plus headlines, the Men's Room Shout of the Day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Tim.
Clack, clack.
Drinking to drunk. All right, here we go. Tim and police go undercover, which means buying exotic dancers, lab dances, and booze. Meanwhile, a couple steals a plane in Montana, making an emergency landing on a freeway. And yes, in fact, they made the news. Town of Vermont is trying to rid seagulls as they keep hitting planes. Attempted robber thwarted when victim pulls off his shorts and exposes brain. And a Florida man beats a resident at an assisted living facility over watching cartoons. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
All up, bitches, good day to you and yours. All right, even the greatest job in the world will inevitably have an unexpected downside. That is unavoidable, even if it's a job you really wanted. Like when I was growing up, a lot of people, my mother included, they wanted to be flight attendants. You know, the idea was that you got to travel and see the world for free. That's the idea. The truth is that you're a glorified member of a wait staff and janitorial service who's routinely verbally abused by self-entitled passengers, all at 30,000 feet. More recently, people have wanted to get into video game development, and it does sound awesome, unless you talk to people in video game development. The basic complaint there, you are overworked and underpaid. But let's face it, that's true of a lot of jobs. Just ask the workers at the Frito-Lay factory in Kansas. They just ended a 20-day strike. Now, see, Frito-Lay, citing the increased demand for Cheetos and Ruffles, which might have something to do with the legalization of marijuana, had workers there working 7 days a week, 84 hours a week, as well as back-to-back what they call suicide shifts, which is 12-hour days. Well, thanks to the strike, Frito-Lay now guarantees they'll at least get 1 day off a week. That's right, you can now work 6 days, but we'll give you a day off. Just remember that the next time you're sucking Cheeto dust off of your fingers. Or don't. But look, in the end, there's something wrong with every job. It just doesn't matter what the job is. There's a downside, not necessarily just because your coworkers suck or your boss is a douchebag, but just something about the job itself. And that's what we want to know today, man. Go back through your Rolodex time machine there. Think of all the jobs you've had, even the one you were excited to go to because, man, oh, man, it sounded perfect. And then answer this question. What was the worst part about any job you've ever had?
Be a part of the Big Show. Call 206-421-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send those emails to themensroom at KISW.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Home and Toes, and away we go. Welcome to season 16, episode number 3518. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat, the exciting return of Who Sucks Less. Steve, I know it's hard for you because the news is so bright and cheerful these days.
Always.
It's probably very difficult to find 3 stories in the news that actually suck. Somehow you pull this off.
You know, it's amazing, man. I mean, it takes all week just to find 3 stories that are mildly irritating.
They're negative, you know.
Like you said, everything is so upbeat, so positive. People are thinking so clearly, but lo and behold. Uh-huh. Thanks to the extraordinary efforts on my part and my crack research team of 47 people located in offices around the world, we actually managed
to come up with 3 stories.
To find 3 stories that are not as positive and bright as the rest of the news stories. And while these people are not the worst, all of them are annoying and all of them are just unnecessary.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Who Sucks Less coming up? Of course, we will drink and toast with a shot of the day, all the regular crap. And then, of course, the Men's Room Happy Hour. If you're new to the program, just know that every weekday, Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock, we leave these airwaves and go exclusively to the Odyssey app.
That's right.
And that's what we call the Men's Room Happy Hour. Now, if you would like to listen, because it's something that we cannot broadcast on these airwaves or any other for that matter, just search for the Men's Room on the Odyssey app. You can find it at KISW.com. And if you don't have that app, excuse me, it's going to be one of those.
Sounds good, man.
Yeah. Download it now for free in the App Store and Google Play. Favorite the Happy Hour in your app, and then it'll pop up and it'll be easy to find. But either way, we go on the Men's Room Happy Hour today, the exciting return of Man versus Beast. Woo! And Ernest Gets Laid, so to speak.
That's right.
So we're going to go back to the world of our favorite Ernest movies, as we got a really nice a letter from a guy who happens to be incarcerated, but he does have an Ernest connection.
A very strong one, actually, which is what is crazy. Yeah.
And this is one of the first letters from jail. And I'm not kidding you. We've got a couple hung up in the studio where it makes sense. I understood everything the guy was saying. It's
keep in mind he got locked up for a white collar crime, and you could just tell the difference.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, exactly.
In the letter,
as an guy who may have made a mistake, but he appears to have all of it together, which is unusual for most of the.
He didn't make a mistake. He got caught.
Most of the mail we received. Yeah, so
like he knew what he was doing. He admits that much.
Men's Room Happy Hour is coming up, and that is exclusively again on the Odyssey app, and you will see the Men's Room Happy Hour. That is what you need to click on at 6 o'clock, and away we go on that one. Episode number 11 coming up today. All right, so the story goes, help, yelled a flight attendant as she grabbed a knife-wielding man and wrestled to pin the knife against her hip. I need help, she yelled again. Then the struggle stopped. Okay, let's do it again, according to the instructor. Let's reset this. The knife was made of rubber. The man was a fellow flight attendant. They struggled not in a life or death brawl inside a cramped airline cabin, but instead practiced at a padded gymnasium with their federal air marshal instructors. 8 flight attendants in the Miami area class were among hundreds the TSA plans to train this summer and fall in self-defense skills.
It is restarting the half-day course, first developed in 2004, that was put on hold due to the coronavirus pandemic. But either way, these skills include how to strike, stomp, and subdue a violent attacker. A scenario these flight attendants said they hoped to never encounter. But amid the return to air travel this year, the number of unruly and violent passengers is spiking. More than 100 incidents were reported to the FAA in the last week. Again, more than 100 in the last week, for a total of more than 3,600 so far this year. To give you an idea of just how crazy things are. Because look, man, back in the day, Steve, you said your mom wanted to be a flight attendant.
Absolutely. And she sold it to me. You know, I was a kid, but still. And look, back in the day when we got on planes, you still got wings, you got your bag of peanuts, blah, blah, blah. It was a very nice experience, right? You were just treated different, baggage fees, all this stuff. But my mother was always saying, man, this would be a great job. I'm like, why? And she said, look, you get to travel.
Sure.
The pay was decent, et cetera. But also at that time, customers were a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people were a lot more gracious. And like I said, they offered you a lot more. Hell, man, you got a deck of cards just because you got on the flight.
You got wings.
I got my wings
because
I was a kid. We all got peanuts, all this stuff. But anyway, I was like, you know what? This makes sense. And oddly enough, when I got a little older, not a flight attendant, but a cruise ship, right? Because at that time, I'm cooking. I'm stuck in Baltimore. I mean, it's a dead-end freaking job. And I'm like, well, you can cook. Instead of learning a new trade, why don't you do a cruise ship, right? You can go travel. So I contacted a few people, found a few openings. 100% of the people that worked on cruise ships, and there's a cleaning crew, cooks, you name it, said, do not do it. Don't go. I said, well, how bad can it be? And I said, one. I said, look, you're not a customer. So you're not, like, out on the deck enjoying things where they have you sleep and all the rest of the stuff on the boat. You never actually get time off, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then fast forward 1,000 years, took a cruise 2 years ago, made friends. Turns out if you drink a lot but can keep your S together, most of the people work on a cruise ship, they become your friend.
Yeah. Right?
So I was Mr. Steve, and I would hang out, and they'd all come up, and we'd shoot the S, and they'd get real honest with you, man. They're like, this job sucks, but it's a job.
Right.
It's like, wow, totally. Man. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been on a cruise, but I have a buddy. I was like, yeah, maybe I'll get into cruises. And he's like, oh, yeah, man. He goes, you're like me. He's like, I shut down the casino every night. Like, very nice. He goes, you don't have to drive anywhere. I was like, not bad.
If not anything. But because of that, that's how attentive all these people are. And you realize, like, oh, right. I mean, it's, I don't know. Everyone in that industry just said it is a nightmare job.
I got a buddy whose wife is a flight attendant for an airline that we all know. And she is the
Turkish
sweetest,
Air.
She's the sweetest woman. I mean, you couldn't find a nicer person. So at one point in time, I believe the flight has taken off the ground, but it's still rising in elevation fairly early within the takeoff of the flight. A man was there with his girlfriend, wife. He has a dog underneath the seat. While the airplane is still taking off, basically, and still, you know, getting to elevation, he takes the dog out. He puts the dog on the floor for a minute. He unbuckles the seatbelt. Then he puts the dog in his lap.
All right.
And she comes up and says, hey, the dog needs to be in the carrier for right now, and you need to have your seatbelt on, sir, while we're doing this. And he said, F off. No, seriously, go F yourself. You know what I mean? You know, and then berated her. And she's like, sir, you know, you can't talk to me like that, and you need to do this now. This is, you know, this is something. And he's like, F you, this, whatever. So, basically, she had to report him. And she did. And when they landed that plane, you know, he tried to sneak around and get out because they had double boarding or double.
I was going
to,
how do you sneak out of a plane?
Well, I guess they were letting people out the back in the front on this particular airline. And he tried to sneak out the back because
he was
looking at all the rules, like how long he would be in jail or whatever the deal was. And he never apologized or anything
like
that.
You're the one who's got the mail. Don't sneak out. Yeah. Stand behind what you said.
But honest to God, like when we grew up, this was a job where, you know, I don't know anybody who would have turned that job down had it been offered to him?
No.
The pay was great back then. The benefits as you stay, you see a different lot of places, cities, countries. You travel with your friends. You enjoy your time. And it seemed like a very glamorous job. And then you realize that in these times, it's not that glamorous at all.
Yeah, in these times, I don't think anyone's fooled.
No.
You know, I mean, like right now, I think anyone gets on a plane and goes, yeah, I do not want your job.
Yeah, it's not nearly as glamorous. But like people that do that job, they're just travel like freaks.
Well, sure.
You know what I mean? Because that's the whole thing, right? If you build up enough seniority and stuff, then you're based out of one city, then you can get international. And, you know, it's not the best thing because you're only going to be in a city. Because same thing, like they have like only certain hours you have like off.
Right, right, right.
But I sang out with a girl that did it. And she was like, yeah, like I've always wanted to see the world. So this is just the kind of funnest way to get paid doing it.
Absolutely.
No doubt. I could not deal. with the way passengers have been saying the last year or so, I just know me, I'd end up getting fired because I punched a dude who deserved to get punched. And then probably didn't stop punching him and worked his ass over, because now you're taking out your frustration to the other 6,000 freaking people you've dealt with.
Difference is, now you might not get fired because they realize that you're too valuable to let go, because they can't find anybody to take all these jobs that need to be taken, right?
Yeah, right.
You might have a leg to stand on. Here's a crazy story. It's not news that people sometimes aren't at their best at a restaurant, but telling a server you hope they get hit by a car, that's a special level of unkind. And that sort of behavior, things that have made staff cry, is why a Massachusetts restaurant shut down for most of the day to give everyone a break from customers. Think about this. Mass Live reports that Brandy Felt Castellano, she owns Apt Cape Cod with her spouse, Regina, said the restaurant would close for most of the day so they could do a deep clean and so that the employees could enjoy, quote, a day of kindness.
Which means you're not open to the public.
According to the New York Times, you don't have to deal with customers and rude people. A post on the restaurant's Facebook page pointed out that while some customers were always kind, there had been an uptick in incivility. Please remember that many of my staff are young. This is their first job or their summer job to help pay for college. The post read noted that the pandemic-related shortages were still in effect and businesses were adjusting to the change of business and trying to hire people. It's, by the way, not the first restaurant in coastal New England to point out an increase in rudeness. Brickley's, which is a popular Rhode Island ice cream shop, shut down for the exact same reason after customers were berating a team employee.
And an ice cream shop.
The rest of the weekend off.
Who goes into a bad mood into an ice cream shop?
Well, there were numbers.
And it's Cape Cod, customers, right? So. Like, my cousins live there. They have a pop Smith Family
Smith
popcorn.
Smith Family Popcorn.
Yeah, in Hyannis.
I'm sure.
It's all high school kids that work in these places. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless it's a bar or something, but right, like, it's Cape Cod. It's what they do for
and
the
I'm
summer.
Sure if you ask them, you know, that's not the first thing that pops in your mind when you think, you know, you're talking to your relatives, but I'm sure if you had a heart-to-heart and a beer, they've got horror stories about people. You know, especially in customer service. I mean, you wouldn't think they would, but I guarantee they do.
Yeah.
Cobb's got horror stories about people. Yeah,
I think it helps that my cousin Patrick is 6'1", 6'2", and played college football.
Well, yeah, you're probably not going to talk
okay.
a lot of crap.
Well, right.
Yeah, but Patrick still, will be like, get out of the
but
shop.
But he knows somebody who worked there. Who's
sure. Oh,
there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
but
anyway.
Also, I think a part of it, too, the pandemic didn't help. But also, everybody's right. And social media doesn't help. And it's like a new thing. Nobody's wrong. You just dig in and get angry.
Yeah.
Which mm-hmm. proves nothing. And then you're yelling at a teenager with a summer job.
Yeah, they had a...
But you make national news, Ted.
Mm-hmm. And a list of jobs...
You feel better when you're sleeping at home miserable?
...that is going viral because they sound like they'd be great jobs.
All right.
But people who work at these jobs say they're not always what you would expect. So here are a few of the highlights. Number one would be a video game developer and, quote, anything in film. You're overworked and underpaid and you don't get any credit unless you're one of the few big shots on the set.
Yeah,
in
absolutely.
Other words, you're just, you know, you're just a number.
I think you have to legitimately love mm-hmm. that industry. Like I said, if you work in film, right, you might be able to name a producer. You can almost always name the director. But from my point of view, as far as the final product that you see on screen where we spend our money and this guy, if you're Steven Spielberg or someone, you made hundreds of millions of dollars on this film. No one knows the editor.
Mm-hmm.
That's the guy who said, right, because if you're a director, you got 12 hours of your movie because that's your big grand thing. The editor goes, look, I cut a lot of fat because it's stupid.
Right.
This is something. And so the truth is the movie you see, not the direction it went, not that, but the movie you physically see, if you really enjoyed it, that's the editor.
Sure. Next up on the list, veterinarians and veterinarian technicians.
That does not sound glamorous at all.
People who work in veterinary hospitals. You think it's caring for cute animals, but it's stressed out owners, oftentimes, who cannot afford to pay for the treatment of their animals.
You never have a good... I can't say you never have a good day. My perspective would be, because they are cute, fluffy animals, 9 times out of 10, if someone's there, if it's not a routine checkup, this cute, fuzzy animal is in distress.
Well,
their
yeah.
owner is in distress, or I'm extracting, what is it, anal glands. Like, nothing yeah. about being a veterinarian yeah. sounds appealing to
it's,
me.
And sometimes it's $600. This dog, this cat is 7 years old. They've got a little, they've got a life ahead of them,
sure.
right? And instead of getting something taken care of that could prolong their life, owners often choose to put that animal down.
Well, it's always cheaper.
And there's nothing wrong with the animal other than the fact that the $600 is not available to get the service that they need.
Yep.
And that's a very stressful decision for people who know, hey, look, if I just did this one little thing, this dog would be alive for maybe another, you know, 6-7 years, right?
But instead, they put the dog down.
I'll put it this way. I don't want
any
glow.
What they call soul-sucking treatment decisions or dealing with sick and dying creatures all day long.
I think as a general rule, I will not take a job where I have to wear a glove that goes up to my elbow. Because you ask yourself, why do I need a glove that goes up to my... Oh, I want no part of that.
What about the people who give birth to a calf where they got to stick it into the shoulder and get that, grab that bad boy out of there?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like now. Yeah. Now.
Nurses.
Only in emergency situations.
What is the emergency?
Like, for some reason, I'm on a farm.
Yeah.
The calf's coming out. Okay. I gotta help.
A cow's been giving birth without human help for a long time. I'm like, no, I'm not doing it.
Glove me up.
Yeah. Nursing, especially an ER nurse. You're caring for people. The level of horror, negativity, and mental exhaustion is underappreciated oftentimes.
Well, yeah.
We brought this up at Flight Attendant. It was glamorized in the past, but there are perks. But you're basically a server who cleans toilets and sometimes gets verbally abused by passengers. Next on the list, Steve, you probably know a little bit more about this than all of us. Chef. No offense, head chef. Like a lot of gigs, your passion can get weighed down by very long hours and needing to rely on people who are not as passionate about their jobs as you are.
The only reason I would disagree with that is because if you're a chef, you already know that before you got the gig, right? So you've already accepted that that's just part of it.
Seafaring. A lot of long voyages, virtually no internet, no doctors, bad weather, and you're away from family and friends.
Hey.
What? Again. What is the last time in the last 100 years somebody was like, I want to sail the seas?
Well, not even, but what's your job? I'm a seafarer. Like a cruise ship, a fish. What do you mean? A pirate?
Yeah, no, all the cargo ships that come in, the tugboats, the people who.
Well, tugboat captain, I get, because you're in your harbor.
Sure.
Right, but you like, go home.
Like being a, I don't know, a deckhand, I don't know what you call a guy, a seafarer like a on a ship. Cargo ship. I'm like, I'm out on that.
Okay, again, right. I know there's jobs that might just suck, but working on a cargo ship, there's nothing about that that sounds glamorous.
Right. And they also say teaching. You can make an impact, but there's also parents to deal with, along with low pay, lack of resources, a lot of after-work hours, and the fact that no matter how hard you try, some kids or teens just don't care.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. I think teachers get past that. I think the bigger thing for a lot of my in-laws in town, both of whom were teachers, and their biggest complaint about it, and they both did it for like 35, 40 years. I said, it's not that. It's that in the last like 20 years, every year, the way you're supposed to teach or the curriculum or what's important or what people are upset about, every year things change. They say you can't like just settle on the teaching style, but the fundamentals haven't changed. Like, learn to read, learn to do math. And somehow people have made that a problem. So they're like, that's why they got out.
Our question, what was the worst part of any job that you've ever had? 206-421-ROCK.
99.9 KISW. The men's room is in progress.
Our question, what was the worst part of any job that you've ever had? 206-421-ROCK.
Just a couple of quick things. First of all, a seafarer, that would be a merchant marine, and says, hey, Ted, tugboats can spend months at sea going from Seattle to North Slope of Alaska. And harbor tugboat crews, they spend 2 weeks on forward and then 2 weeks off. Now you know.
All right.
Those things are big, though.
I don't want to do it either way.
Yeah, that's not a job that
appeals. I don't care where that tugboat's going or leaving. Though I did used to have a fake ID. It was a real ID of a different guy.
Yeah?
And his nickname was Tugboat. So sometimes when I'd go to bars, he'd be like, Tugboat. I'd be like, what up?
But don't just respond,
isn't,
man.
Respond.
I mean, like, not being real deep in the world of boating. I mean, there's cool boats out there. You see, like, big-ass yachts and everything that people own.
Well, sure.
But then you see a tugboat. It kind of makes you happy for whatever reason. Like, oh, look, it's a tugboat. I don't know if it's just the idea of the tugboat.
I think
always
it's from childhood.
I do, too.
It's because, like, if boats, if they made boats, you know what I mean? Characters when you were a kid.
They were tugboats.
The only boat, right, that you liked was a tugboat, and every other boat was a douchebag.
They got things
so
done.
You just like tugboat, and you're right. It's stupid. This is from childhood, but you're right. I see a tugboat. I'm like, my
tugboat,
man!
Tugboat! Tugboat!
Yeah!
Yeah.
Ice cream! Was there a tugboat book?
There was.
Like Thomas the Train?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there like somebody.
But it was
Tuggy.
Smiley. The boat was
Tuggy the boat.
The boat was smiley, you know what I mean?
Yeah, tugboats were always, they were always positive, man.
Yeah.
They were always there. They were every boat's buddy. So, you know, from childhood, it is implanted in your head that basically, if you drive a tugboat, you are a cartoon character or an imaginary friend to us.
Yeah.
You might be a grizzled, salty, one-armed old man screaming at the bar. And we're like, we love you.
Yeah, you can see one of those big-ass Disney boats pull in. They've got the murals on the side of Mickey and Goofy painted and everything else. And there's a tugboat bringing it in. You're like, tugboat! Tugboat! You know what I mean? You don't give a crap about
you
that
don't.
Cruise ship with a, you know, a go-kart track on top. You seen that one and the all the different stuff they have?
I have not.
I've seen the one where they pull in the Seattle's got a go-kart track on top.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And the only thing I can think about, honest to God, when they were putting that thing in there, I was like, oh, yeah, cool. They got like three tugboats.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's serious. It's just like
tugboats, the only boats with tires.
Yeah, they make you happy. What was the worst part of any job that you've ever had? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Ron. Welcome to the men's room.
What's up, y'all?
Hola.
So, the worst part of any job I can think, I've had a lot of jobs, but the one is most current job I have right now. I install appliances up here in the Seattle area. We have a job site in Woodinville. There's three buildings, and they're five stories, and these apartments get these really bougie refrigerators. And I mean, like, more refrigerator than you need in this apartment. And they weigh 330 pounds, and we have to hike them bad boys up five flights of stairs.
Yeah, and oftentimes the stairs are on the outside of the building sometimes.
No, they're on the inside.
Oh, they're on the inside? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah, we'd be dinging them walls up.
Do people give you grief if you ding the wall? Look, I just helped Castle. Castle redid his kitchen, right? And so he calls me, says, man, just do me a solid. Help me move this refrigerator. And I don't think it's particularly bougie, but this thing weighs 12 million goddamn pounds. I did not care if I hit his walls.
Turn your radio down.
My bad.
Yeah. You like to listen to yourself in the past?
No. I'm still in the work truck. I've got my coworkers listening to me on the radio.
Oh, gotcha.
All right, which coworker, when it comes to lifting the fridge, all right, because I'm sure you guys have a methodology. Which one of your coworkers? Go ahead, you can drop the name. Who's the worst at it? Like, who's the guy where you're like, God
oh,
damn.
He don't work with us no more. His name was Mike. I'll drop his name all day. But there's only a handful of guys that can lift these fridges, and I'm one of them because I'm like 6'2", 230,
Also,
there's a technique to it. Yeah. There's a technique to it.
But also when you're carrying those things, unlike anything, you watch a moving company come in and they'll move your stuff in. They don't strap themselves physically to that appliance or that box. Like, you actually have a strap where if something were to happen and that thing tumbles over, like, you are strapped in and you are underneath the thing. Is that correct?
Yeah. We strap them to a dolly. We have them on a dolly, like an 800-pound dolly. So we strap them to that. And now there was a couple times where, you get them like up on the step and then you lose your balance and it starts falling forward. Yeah, just let go because that thing's going to take you with it real quick.
What's the biggest drop you've had on a heavy appliance? Like, if you put one through a banister on a stairway or anything?
One of those we have, if they get little dings and dents on the front of them, cause they're like steel. The supervisors, they come and check all that stuff, and sometimes you'll have to bring them back down. Well, we had nine of them one day, and six of them had to come back down because they got damaged. And, I sent one of them bad boys down on his face real good.
So, how much, you can probably eat whatever the hell you want with that job, can you?
Yeah, I do. I eat like a horse because I work like a horse. But I meal prep personally, so I'm eating collard greens and fried chicken every day.
I would not want to follow you in the bathroom.
No.
Don't take that personally, but
yeah.
You sound like my grandmother, man, and my thoughts are her. You can see, like, heat waves when you walk to the bathroom.
I mean, there's no reason for you to go to the gym. You get a workout every day in, basically, right?
But I still go to the gym with my son.
Okay, all right.
Because he's playing football. He's 15. He wants to play football.
So how old are you?
I'll be 44 in September. I'm 43.
And your body's hanging together, man. You're not in pain. You don't have, like, back pain or knee pain.
I'm going to keep it real with you. I'm going to keep it real, man. I'm in pain every day. But I'm just a tough SLB, and I do it for my family.
So you know he's in pain. Did you not hear the job?
I know. You sound like you're
44.
Fine. I go to bed. I wake up, and I'm in pain. I didn't do anything.
I wake up in pain, too, man. Get a little wake and bake on and feel good, get your mind right, and just, right back at it. It's a hustle baller mentality, bro.
I hear you.
Are you cooking the food you're prepping with?
I am. I cook it myself, yep.
All right, nice.
If you're making collard greens, you're cooking it yourself. I'm trying to do that now.
I was wondering about the chicken.
Does your skin stay crispy?
Nah. I get skinless, boneless, either breasts or tenderloins, little chicken tenders.
Yeah. Fry
them up. Or I'll bake a salmon. Have some salmon, but got some sauteed Brussels sprouts and stuff like that.
Your lunch is better than my dinners.
I think that sounds horrible.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds great.
I get compliments at work. I get compliments from the other job crews. They're like, man, you be eating good. I'm like, I have to. Look what I do.
Makes sense. Let me ask you this. What kind of fridge do you have? You have a decent fridge at home?
it's pretty decent.
Okay. Do I want to make sure? Like, if I'm working that gig, I want a good fridge.
Seems like the more bells and whistles in the fridge, the quicker they break down.
I had this conversation last night.
I had to replace like a electronic board in one of my refrigerators. It was only like 6 months old. This is a Samsung. The damn thing just absolutely blew up.
Samsung sucks.
It cost $900 to replace the board, the chip board or whatever the computer system was in that refrigerator. And there's nothing wrong with the refrigerator itself. It was just kind of on the fritz and the whole thing needed to be replaced. I'm like, how's this even possible?
That's why my dishwasher, same thing. We had to get our other one just broke down. It came with the house, but it was like 40 years old, right? So like, whatever, we'll replace it. We go to Home Depot, wherever the hell we are, and there's this new Samsung, has all the bells and whistles, and I was skeptical in that moment. You know, and look, if you're a sales associate, you're going to convince us everything's fine. And I'm like, look, man, this is just my experience with things, all right? So when you add electronics to things that, generally speaking, do not need them, something goes wrong with the electronics. Like, you've mastered the art of making dishwashers, right? They've been around forever. I don't sweat that part. It knows how to do it. It's just water being forced through a thing that spins. But there's all these buttons. And they're like, no, man. It's state-of-the-art, whatever. Like, I'm old enough to know that state-of-the-art means garbage. Sure enough, probably 2 months after we put it in, it will. So it still washes dishes. But it doesn't necessarily wash dishes when you command it to. And once you hit a button on that thing, right? So you can, like, when you hit start.
Right.
Which, in theory, like an old one, you hit start. You had to, like, actually depress a button. And you know what it did? It started. There was another button that said stop, and there was one other thing that said open. That was it. All right. So this one, there's like 47 buttons. Most of them don't make sense to me. They're start. You hit start. It doesn't start, but it'll start dinging. But then it won't stop dinging. So you just
get ding. Oh, God.
But
dude.
I'm like, but you're not washing dishes. I did not buy a ding machine.
Thank God, my buddy.
I bought a dishwasher, but it turns out the machine that I have purchased is, in fact, a ding machine, but it's not washing. And then eventually, and I'm not kidding, so you hit start, at some point it will start washing dishes.
Yeah.
But not when you hit start, which defies the word start. So within 3 to 4 hours, it may or may not start. And so we have like a game show in my house every morning. I'm going to open the dishwasher. Do you think the dishes are clean? Because I hit start. No, it didn't start.
That's a bad game.
Dude. It sucks.
This day,
sorry.
This day is
it
just
pisses
been,
me
this
off.
This day has just been a downhill S-fest for me. Like, from the moment I woke up this morning, my washing machine and dryer, they are constantly beeping at me. I have a stackable unit because I have a small little closet this thing fits in. It's like, beep, 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 beep.
What do you want?
The doors are open. I've turned all the things. Now the damn thing won't start. So thank God I've got a buddy who just retired from being an appliance technician his entire damn life. Like, I call him up like, hey, Scott, man, he lives like in Mount Vernon, so this is right. not close.
Oh, this is easy.
Yeah, this is no big deal. Just an hour and a half drive in Seattle traffic. I'm like, hey, man, what are you doing? He's like, enjoying retirement at Ocean Shores. What's happening?
Oh.
I'm like, don't worry about it, brother. I'll talk to you another time because I don't want to ruin the family vacation. But at the same point in time, I'm like, I just bought this thing.
Uh-huh.
It's a Frigidaire. It just has the dials on it. There's nothing complicated about this. Like, appliances suck now. They suck. Like, back in the day when, like, I mean, they were strong steel, American-made, you know, Amana, all that crap. Now it's just, like, one company, two company makes them. And they all suck. And they all break down.
Well, even when Castle redid
a kitchen. We got a microwave in the kitchen in here.
TVs have gotten better, but I'm with you.
Like, TVs have gotten better,
appliances,
for sure.
Yeah, you're right. It's like,
Samsung's fine on television, but we have it right across here. We have a kitchen. We're in a brand-new studio, right?
Mm.
That microwave didn't last 6 months.
That's
it. And then they fixed it. It died again.
It broke down again. So what's the point of even getting a warranty on the damn thing? Because, you know what I mean? Like, what are you going to do? Keep fixing it?
So they can fix it for free? Well, Castle Reed did his kitchen. The one thing he told me, he said, man, and, you know, they tried to upsell him on everything. And he made good decisions about the aesthetics. But he said when it came to appliances, and he got very nice appliances, but he said they're all analog. And sure enough, when you look at his kitchen, he's like, no. You turn the dial for the stove. Because the digital crap is garbage. His fridge is like, you just open the doors. There's no buttons to press. There's no tech.
I mean, the most complicated thing I want is an ice maker. That's it.
And that's magic.
I don't care
to me.
If it's on the inside. I don't care if it's on the outside.
Yeah.
Just an ice maker. Good God. What was the worst part of any job that you've ever had? 206-421-ROCK.
Basically, we own beeping boxes.
Oh, my God. AJ, well, shut up. I mean, and it's a loud beep.
And you can't turn it off. I start hitting off. And now you hit start.
I hit the breaker. I did everything. I'm just like, what in the God?
There
I
is
just
something
bought
like,
this thing.
There's something like torture like about a beep you can't stop.
My wife will actually get me to leave the house because I'll hear, like, we're watching TV and she knows how angry I get about this, right? So we're watching TV and I'm like, was that the goddamn dishwasher? Because neither of us have touched it, by the way, in like 6 hours. Why is it beeping? She's like, just go smoke a cigarette. I will go look at this because I'm gonna rip the goddamn door off of this thing and smash it in the driveway. I'm sorry, man. Hello, Sean. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholas.
Hola.
So I worked at TSA at the airport for 17 years, and the passengers treat you like you're there just as an inconvenience to them, even though you're stopping items from going on the plane that could be deadly to them.
You mean to other passengers or to them individually?
Well, at like SeaTac, you find 4 or 5 guns a week.
And so, what is the rule if you have a concealed carry permit? I don't know the rules. So, if I have a concealed carry and I'm flying to Spokane from Seattle, can I put that in my check-on bag?
In your check-on, yeah. But these are people bringing it in their carry-on.
Sometimes don't people just kind of forget?
There's a lot of times people forget because they go, oh, I didn't know where that was at, but...
What are the biggest arguments that you get? Because I get people say, oh, man, I forgot. It's like, right, you forgot, but the rule is still the rule. I mean, if I forget to come to work, I'm still in trouble for not showing up, even if you believe
it. A lot of people have bags that they use for luggage, but oftentimes they use for firearms.
Sure.
Same way I have forgotten something in there that technically shouldn't go through TSA.
Me too. It's called a joy, but...
It's not going to kill anybody.
Yeah, that's not really even an issue, and that's something else that happens is people don't realize, you know, the dogs that are out front, they're not looking for drugs.
No, they're looking for bombs,
which is good.
They're looking for explosives.
Right. Yeah. So what are you guys looking for?
We're looking for something that's dangerous to the aircraft, but we're not looking for drugs. But if it's something that's illegal federally, we have to report it.
Right, like, so anything over 8 ounces of liquid could be something else other than what's in the shampoo bottles, what are you saying?
Right, and that's because of that liquid bomb threat out of
correct,
England.
Correct, correct. Yeah, one dude.
One dude.
One dude.
Somebody put it best. I said, why don't you put a bomb in a crying baby? And then you forbid crying babies from getting on planes, and everyone's like, you know what, I'm okay with this. Even parents. When my kids were young and screaming at the airport, if they said, yeah, you can't take them on a plane, but you can go, I'd be like, cool.
Yeah, just keep
send them later, because right now I'm over it.
What was the worst part of any job that you've ever had? 206-421-ROCK.
I will leave the airport out, but I told you I went through one airport. And I mean, look, I travel enough. You get pretty used to just going through TSA.
Yeah.
But they just stopped. My bag was still in the x-ray.
What do you mean they stopped?
They stopped. It was break time.
Oh, you mean...
All of them at once?
On the machine I was on. But so I had walked through and already got patted down, but my bag was still in there. So then I try to walk around, and they're like, sir, you cannot walk. And it's like, no, but my bag is in that machine. Well, I don't see how that could happen. I'm like, well, you know, go ask Jeff. I didn't tell Jeff not to pull it out, but Jeff left it in there.
Yeah.
And then after 10 minutes, they were like, oh, sir, you know what? You're correct. Your bag is in here. I was like, I just want to get a beer. Give me my freaking bag.
Do you think I'm lying to you that my bag is stuck in the machine?
What would I gain out of this?
Right. What is the bag? I remember traveling, and kids were real young, so there's like... Cheerios, some like bottles and all the big nipples that go on top. So get called over, and I think it was Philadelphia Airport. They have it unzipped. And again, I mean, it's clearly baby bottles. The nipples will go with them and bags of Cheerios. But the dude has it open. And he's like, sir, what is this? I'm like, those are big plastic nipples. Made everyone uncomfortable. Everyone turns to look. And finally, a woman came over and said, Jeffrey, those are baby bottles. Leave that man alone. Yeah. Like, thank you.
Last time I flew, I had to always take Metamucil with me. Now, the girl who was working TSA was attractive, younger, probably 25 years old, you know, good-looking girl, right? So she's like, sir, I have to check in your bag. And I'm like, oh, God, what the hell is this again? So but I always put the Metamucil on top because it's always the thing that gets flagged. It's powder, and it's a cylinder container. So she picks it up. She says, this is it. And she says, what is this? And I said, it's Metamucil. She says, what is Metamucil?
Oh, God.
And I said, when you're old, honey, sometimes making number two isn't as easy as it used to be. So this, if you put in a glass of water every night, will make sure that when I'm, especially on vacation, sometimes, you know, when you're on vacation, your stomach doesn't act same as it does at home. If I'm playing a road game or whatever, I said, this makes it easier for me to go dookie in the morning. She's like,
Did you say dookie?
She goes, I don't believe you. And I was like, you could, because she's trying to read what it is, and it doesn't really clinically say like as much, you know, like doctor recommended all these things, and I'm like,
ask her. And there was a woman over there with gray hair, and she took it over, and she's like, oh, yeah, honey, that's just to help him clear for bowel movements.
It's still soft.
She called it for bowel movements.
He's called it Dookie.
I wouldn't have believed you at that point either.
I'm going to get Dookie.
Like, sir, you're in your 50s.
This is Dookie powder, baby. Just snort a big hog leg of it. You crap like a pack mule. What was the worst part of any job that you've ever had? 206-421-ROCK.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.